Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always enjoy and try to do it at least once a year, and we decided to start early in 2025 with the head of the Little Rock Regional Chamber, Jay Chesler, to talk everything Central Arkansas. Jay, always a pleasure to have you for these conversations.
Rex, I really enjoyed. Thanks for having me back.
Well, there's just so much going on. And, you're the guy in the promotion business, not me. But, I mean, honestly, looking at it, as I look back on 2024, it continues to amaze me to watch the pace of business announcements, to watch Central Arkansas basically become both this manufacturing and distribution hub. It's really speeding up, if anything, is it not?
It really is. And interestingly enough, there's more coming.
Yeah.
We're trying to finalize some things now that will even add to that. And even beyond that, you look at RX results, you look at some of the other things that have been announced in the last several months that weren't necessarily what a lot of people pay attention to from the standpoint of jobs. But when you're doing pharmacy compounding, when you're doing technology, innovation, whatever that may be, this is a really diverse economy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And the really important part of that is all facets of it are growing, not just one area.
Yeah, exactly. We talk about this. As you know, I love history, and this is recent history, but it continues to really interest me. And I know we talked about this the last time you were here, but it's been a year or so, and that is the fact that when we were all 5 years ago totally consumed by the pandemic and kind of under the radar, the way that Amazon came in here and made this kind of a regional hub and suddenly thousands of jobs. But as I look back now and see everything that's happening since then, when you get a giant like that, it seems to me that helped you send a message to the rest of the world, not just the rest of the nation. I'm seeing all these international companies come in now, but the rest of the world that, boy, Little Rock is a well-placed place logistically. Am I right there that Amazon helps send that message?
Absolutely right. And, you know, people don't realize in the economic development world, you spend an untold amount of money trying to differentiate yourself from the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's doing it at once.
Right.
And so you go back to 2018 with the Love Little Rock campaign that no one ever dreamt would literally create what it has helped create.
Yeah, because we knew, I mean, it's brilliant in retrospect, because we knew we weren't suited for the headquarters. It was never going to come here. A lot of cities were spending a lot of money when they were never going to be considered. But we said we might be a good place for some other things.
Absolutely. And then immediately the next week, that's what most folks, of course, they wouldn't have known because they couldn't see that.
Anything, yeah.
But literally the next week, we had representatives in town, in the region, looking at what became the tent city, mm-hmm. if you'll recall, which was really kind of that first test me type project that obviously has grown from that to now well over 7,000 jobs, obviously over 5 million square feet of new space and more coming in terms of the distribution side, obviously the thousands of jobs that not only are associated with that, but more importantly, it's one thing for you to say who you are and what you can do. It's another thing for an international icon mm-hmm. like Amazon to say it by doing it. Mm-hmm. And literally it was worth tens of millions of dollars of marketing and advertising, because people saw that. And then the first thought was, well, what do they see that we don't?
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, here we are 5-7 years later or 6 years later, and we're still growing and we still have more coming.
Yeah, the final, let's go back to just the final week of October, and that was an example. On a Tuesday, you announced that the Famanville Group had selected Little Rock for its first U.S. production facility. That project expected to create about 390 jobs, about $250 million in economic impact. Just 2 days later, you were back out at the port of Little Rock, where Wellspun Tubular was announcing an investment of another $100 million to upgrade its big complex there, adding another 175 jobs. That was just in a three-day period.
Unbelievable. In my career, I've never had, probably never will have
two big announcements in a three-day period. Yeah.
And that's, you know,
that was an example of the kind of thing we're seeing right now.
And we continue, you know, I tell our leadership all the time. In 2007, 2008, we announced that the port was full.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are in early now 2025, and just last week closed on yet more property as we continue to find ways to purchase property, develop the property, and then attract companies like Famanville, attract obviously expansions of existing companies, because that an existing company expanding is the highest of attributes that you can
great
hope
compliment,
for,
isn't it?
Because
yeah,
that means
yeah,
that
we like
that
where
it
we
is
are
working.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always, you know, I've told a lot of my close friends, you know, who had no idea who Famanville is. When you look at a 6-7 generation company out of Europe, and it's a specialty niche trailer or moving vehicle manufacturer, and they just kind of look at you and smile, and then you go, and oh, by the way, the next time you see one of those big rockets that Mr. Musk or someone else is carrying up to the launch pad,
that's who's hauling them out there.
That's who's hauling those things out there. And so, yes, it's a specialty trailer manufacturer, but it's way more than that. And we now have their first manufacturing facility in North America.
Yeah, and again, that sends messages to the European market. Internationally, Wellspun, again, an international company, we see more and more success. So that's why I said that Amazon really helped put us on the world map, on the international map, just not the national map. So the port alone, and I know you deal with the whole region, but the port alone is now employing more than 10,000 people making their way there every workday from more than 40 of the state's 75 counties. That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
You know, we did a zip code analysis probably 5 years ago now, and I believe the number at the time, Rex, was employees in the port and the airport, because we combined both of mm-hmm. those. At the time, came from 26 different counties.
Yeah.
This latest zip code analysis now has that up to 48.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why the I-30 corridor project is so important. It's why the Big Rock interchange is so important.
Mm-hmm.
It's why the expansion of highways north, south, east, and west is really important, because as long as we can equate miles to minutes, then those people that live 60 and 70 miles away, while we'd love for everyone to live here, and we do, and mm-hmm. we're doing everything we can to attract folks to live here, but what we allow companies to do is to take what is typically a 20-mile radius from a labor shed perspective, and we're making it 70, 80, and 90 miles.
Yeah. I'm glad you, because I wanted to mention, I'm glad you threw in with the port of Little Rock, just the other side of 430, the airport, because again, in the past year, we had Dassault Falcon announce a major expansion, and that's back to what you were talking about. That's an existing company saying it's working here.
And
another international company, by the way.
And a very quick story as to why it's important to constantly go and visit these companies where they're located from a headquarters facility. Had we not been in Paris.
Mm-hmm. At the Paris Air Show.
Had we not had specific meetings with their chair and their higher level leadership, we would have never known there was an issue that was giving them pause as to where they were going to continue to expand. We would have never found out about that. We would have never dug into that. We would have never had the opportunity to come back and then resolve the issues that we didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, give them reasons to continue to expand here. And that latest expansion, 100 plus million in terms of capital investment and probably what will be 800 to 900 jobs. If we hadn't gone to see them, and we talk about the amazing aspects of attracting new investment and new companies from around the country and around the world, but it also goes to show you the amazing importance of dealing and working and creating and growing relationships with those that are already here, finding whatever issues they're having, and then helping them resolve it so that they can continue to grow here. That is the importance. That is the backbone. That is the foundation of any successful economic development program.
Many people believe that the next big thing in Arkansas is lithium. Hi, I'm Ainsley Platt, an environment reporter at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. For months, I've been covering efforts to bring lithium extraction to Arkansas and the roadblocks that have popped up along the way. The lithium held in the brines underneath South Arkansas could help the U.S. meet its goal of developing a domestic supply of a critical mineral that powers everything from electric vehicles to iPhones. However, a recent Arkansas Oil and Gas Commission decision has thrown a new wrench in those efforts, potentially endangering hundreds of millions in investment and extraction projects. I want to make sure you stay informed about how these decisions might affect you and your community. If you find this kind of reporting valuable, you can support my work by subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADG now.
And I have to think, we're talking about these European-owned companies, and I know economic development's not the first thing that you have to do, but boy, it sure can't hurt Central Arkansas, can it, to have Warren Stevens as the ambassador to the United Kingdom now?
What a great
profile for our community.
At our annual meeting back in December, as you probably know,
one of your former presidents, by the way.
I grew up a person in Nashville, Arkansas. And in fact, probably the only person in Arkansas that had a Green Bay Packers Sears jacket when I was going to grade school. And I won't tell you how all that came about, but yeah. I've been a Packers fan forever.
Yeah.
And so I stood up at the annual meeting and I said, you know, as my friends in Green Bay like to call themselves Title Town, after Governor Huckabee being announced
to Israel, absolutely
to Israel, and after Mr. Stevens being announced, obviously to the Court of St. George, I laughingly said, "We're going to now start calling ourselves Ambassadorville."
Yeah, exactly. And again, that cannot hurt at all.
And we laugh about that, and it is an amazing honor for both of those gentlemen and an amazing honor for Arkansas. But I take that a step forward and say, in my lifetime anyway, and I dare say maybe anyone's lifetime, Arkansas has never been as well positioned from a leadership standpoint politically as it is today.
Absolutely. We have a 6-person congressional delegation. 5 of those 6 are now committee chairmen. This is unheard of. The other is a subcommittee, but it's a subcommittee of House Appropriations. Those people are called the Cardinals, actually, yes, in Washington. You and I are both familiar with Capitol Hill and know that term. And so Steve Womack's a Cardinal. So all 6 now in very important positions, and that's never happened in Arkansas history.
And
the entire delegation.
I don't believe that people in general understand, because they're probably not paying that close of attention to it, but they certainly don't understand the value that is to us. Mm-hmm. And yes, talking to companies about why Arkansas is a great place to be in terms of growing and expanding and all of those things, but also about how we can get things done, both at the local, state, and federal level, and now internationally, where we have friends in some amazing places now in Israel and in the United Kingdom. So it has never been anything like this. I've never had the opportunity in talking to a European company. I'll take a step back. I was talking to a company in India who is now expanding into Europe. They're already expanding here, and I can't say the name of it. But one of the things that we talked about just last week was the fact that they were going to visit with the mayor of London. And I said, well, in just a few short weeks, I can also have you have the opportunity to make an appointment with the ambassador to the UK, who can also help, based upon what you're doing here in Little Rock, with some of those folks in Europe as well. We've never had that.
No, and now you do. Amazing. And another point that I want to make, because it's not just the business development, but it's what it's leading to, and you do approach things from a true regional standpoint. Your name's Little Rock, but it's the Little Rock region, not right. just the city of Little Rock. And I love people who know me know that my column is a statewide perspective. If it's good for Arkansas, I'm for it. And I take a statewide, and I love what we've seen in Northwest Arkansas. But one of my favorite things to write last year was the fact, because I would have gotten it wrong, I would suspect that 99% of Arkansans would have gotten it wrong, of larger cities in the state, what was the fastest growing one percentage-wise the last 2 years? I would have said Bentonville. Most Arkansans would have said Bentonville. Conway.
Yep.
Conway grew at a rate, and this is from the Census Bureau, faster than Bentonville did. Those 2 years.
And it's interesting, you know, you look at the amazing growth happening in Benton and Bryant, obviously the growth that's now and has been for a while now happening in Little Rock. Even more importantly to us from the economic development and the chamber side of the house, three different times last year alone, we set new records for the amount of people employed in the MSA, MSA being the Metropolitan Statistical Area. And so when you now have, in July of last year was the third of the three records that were broken, over 372,000 people working in our metropolitan statistical area, our region. Our goal from the chamber's perspective is to increase that number to 400,000 by 2033. If we're successful in doing that, population goes way up, schools grow and get better, the entire economy continues to grow and grow exponentially, and having choice, as we call it, whether it be choice in where to live, choice in education, choice in job opportunities, having that choice, or those choices, I should say, continue to grow is going to be good for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, it really will be. Now, let me move on to another area, because you're involved in so much more than just the pure economic development part. You're heavily involved in education, and it's a direct tie, obviously, because if you're bringing the jobs here, you got to have qualified people to do those jobs. We've talked in the past about the Ford program, what you're doing in the public schools. You're now doing some partnerships at the higher education level with UALR. So talk a little bit about how the chamber is involved in education, both K-12 and higher education now in Arkansas.
I'll start with the K-12 piece. You know, obviously, the four public school districts in Pulaski County are extremely important. We started back in 2018 down the pathway of the Ford Next Generation Learning Framework. At the time, and even still today, we're the only community in America that's trying to implement this at the high school level. It's ninth grade through 12th grade. To the 12th grades. We're the only community in America doing it in four school districts at one time.
That's great.
And it is having a significant impact already. You're getting ready to see some new advertising coming out of Jacksonville, for example, and their public school district, how they went wall to wall in the Ford NGL, or the Academies of Central Arkansas, as we're now calling it, and how they're growing because of that. The state of Arkansas recognizing that this work is working and looking at what we're doing as something that other school districts from around the state can also emulate. We were allowed, or we were chosen for $500,000 hired grant to spend in the academies in those four school districts for the next 2 years to further implement what we're doing now. And the over 62, 63, I believe, as of yesterday, corporate partners that we have engaged in all of the, in 10 of the high schools across the county. And it's important because we're showing young people what is and what can be that they don't normally see. And whetting that appetite, so to speak, for things that maybe they didn't think they could do here or even had the opportunity to learn about. And now all of a sudden they have people sitting in front of them, standing in front of them and talking about it, but then taking them to those places of business and showing them, whether that be the Baptist Health System work that they're doing at Southwest High School in the Little Rock School District, along with the North Little Rock High School in the North Little Rock District, whether that's other healthcare related activities all across. This is giving kids an opportunity to see that there is an amazing career opportunity, whether you want to be a nurse, a doctor, or if you want to be a specialist, or if you want to be in research. All of those opportunities are here. So it's important that to us that we continue to fully implement that work. We said from the very beginning, this was not something the chamber needed to be doing long term. We were using the Nashville, Tennessee example as our example.
Right.
And so it needs to be its own separate nonprofit that is governed and helped funded by both the private sector and the public sector, including the school district. So our goal is to roll the Academies of Central Arkansas out into its own private nonprofit by July of this year. This hired grant will help us do that. We've had significant private investment that's helping us do that. And we've now been meeting with the public school districts about being a part of that process and have had everyone say, absolutely, this is what we need to do because it is working. So I'm going to set that aside for a second, but choice is important, whether it's charter, whether it's private, whether it's public. We want to give everyone an opportunity for the right choice they believe is the best choice for their child. If public schools aren't a choice, we can't grow. So that's why it was so important for us to get that up and operating. And the neat thing about it is to see companies like Baptist and Blue Cross and Baldwin and Shell, all of a sudden I'm using all the B words, that are engaged and their people are engaged with these young people. When you look at 3,500 ninth graders coming for one day to the State House Convention Center and interacting with over 100 different business entities, again, seeing is believing. They can't be what they can't see. And that's that first entree into, hey, show me what you're interested in, and then we'll show you a pathway in one of these schools that will help you learn better because it's something that you want to learn about. So that's really cool.
Everyone loves a good place to eat, and few things are more discouraging than spending good money on a bad meal. I'm Eric Harrison, and I write for the Style section at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Knowing where to go, what to try, and how much you'll shell out go a long way toward making sure readers find the experience they are looking for rather than paying for big disappointment. Help us create a marketplace where consumers can rely on reviews and make informed choices by subscribing at arkansasonline.com/ADGnow.
Moving to the post-secondary area, we announced a little over a year ago an H-1B entrepreneurial visa program with the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. And pleased to say that after months and months of work, we're on the cusp of them being UA Little Rock signing the first one of these companies. We actually have three more in the wings awaiting approval as well. I can't give you the name of that because I don't want to steal the UA Little Rock Thunder, but Provost Ann Bain and obviously Chancellor Drell and the group of folks at UA Little Rock are doing really neat things. And what this will do is allow students to be able to come and learn new technologies that the curriculum doesn't exist in other universities in Arkansas, or for that matter, maybe even the world. And at the same time, give these young people intern opportunities with these fledgling up-and-coming companies who already have revenue, who already have clients, who already have proven technology, and gives us the ability to continue to grow that technology ecosystem, which is a word that I'm really tired of, but it is meaningful from the perspective of the more of those kinds of companies we have, the more of those kinds of students, whether they be young or relearning something that they want to do from a new career perspective, the more of those talented folks that we have in this marketplace, the better off everyone is going to be, whether it be healthcare, manufacturing, or anything in between.
Yeah. You mentioned healthcare. Now I started, and I know a lot of people, when they think about the chamber and they think about economic development, they're thinking industrial. And we started with the Port of Little Rock because there's so much good news, but because you mentioned healthcare, Little Rock has long been a regional healthcare center. And, with that population aging, that is only going to grow. We see children's have embarked on a major expansion now. UAMS, that great economic engine, it's become getting closer to the National Cancer Institute designation, which I take it, from everything I read, will be huge for Central Arkansas also when that occurs.
You know, you look at, obviously, healthcare is our number one industry. Mm-hmm. And you look at the well over 10,000 plus people that at UAMS alone.
Yeah.
When you incorporate Baptist and CHI St. Vincent's and the Arkansas Heart Hospital, and I can go on and on and on, it is a huge driver of our economy. And I'm going to use an Amazon analogy here because I talked about, I didn't say it correctly, but it's LROC RX compounding pharmacy grand opening that was, yes, a little blurb in the newspaper and maybe on media about a month ago, but that's just one example of here's a company, a 503A compounding pharmacy, mm-hmm. now operating in Little Rock. And what does that mean? Instead of getting that gadget or whatever it is that you've ordered on Amazon the next day, now all of a sudden, if you have a pharmaceutical need that has a specialty compounding aspect to it, you can now get that right here in Little Rock too,
yeah.
as opposed to have it shipped in from wherever. And mm-hmm. so all of these little things, which you're talking about a company with LROC RX compounding being probably in the neighborhood of 100 or so folks, really well-paying jobs and a great addition to our economy. But in the overall scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal, but you start adding all of these smaller things together and the research and the lab technology that exists in Little Rock and Central Arkansas, for that matter, in this marketplace today. And it is a huge driver. It's also going to be a driver, in my opinion, for what we look like 10, 15, and 20 years from now, because as the world changes, as we get older, healthcare obviously is that much more important. And when you look at what our healthcare facilities are doing and looking at the what's next, as opposed to trying to catch up to the what's now, it's going to be a huge boon for our entire, not only our entire region, but our entire state.
Yeah. You know, we talk about attracting jobs, but a lot of people, and I write about this a lot, don't understand in the knowledge-based economy of the 21st century, a lot of economic development is attracting and keeping talented people. And the jobs now come to where they are instead of vice versa. People moving, they move where they think there's a great quality of life. And so I know that's a big part of what you do. And one part of that, I wanted to allow you to talk about it before it occurs. I know you have a young professional summit coming up on March the 6th.
Yes. And we're really excited about that. And before I briefly mention about what we're doing there, I want to go back to the community benefactor that about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now, that came forward and said, you know, talent is important. Mm-hmm. And let's look at what others have done from a talent attraction standpoint and see if we can create our own thing that will be helpful in not only attracting talent, but then obviously working to retain it. And so we did the Love Little Rock campaign.
Yep.
And it was successful. We had well over 750 upper level type resumes, because we were focused on mid-level and upper level folks as opposed to just entry level. And what it did was allow us to take the success that we saw in the Love Little Rock Amazon campaign and take that nationally and in some cases internationally, because we had folks from seven different countries that also sent resumes to apply in that process, and put back front and center the fact that, hey, this is a really cool place to live. Mm. It's a really cool place to work. And here are all these opportunities that maybe you didn't know about. Well, we had lots of lessons learned from that work. And what we're now doing, in fact, announced to our executive committee a couple of weeks ago, what we're now doing is working to create an ongoing talent attraction strategy.
Right.
It won't have anything to do with, you know, we'll give you $10,000 to move here type mm-hmm. thing. It'll mm-hmm. have everything to do with, now that we know those primary states and those primary media markets where folks are currently located that are interested in coming here because of what we learned from the first campaign, we're now using those things to try to create that strategy so that we can, instead of for a finite period of time, talk about Arkansas and Little Rock in particular in terms of a place where creative and talented people want to live, but we can do that ongoing and help existing companies find those hard-to-find talented people and help in the recruitment of that. So yeah, that's one piece of this. One of the other things that we're doing on March the 6th, as you mentioned, is we're creating the first ever Create Little Rock Young Professionals Summit. It's the inaugural event. It's going to be a half a day event at the hall. We're bringing in a nationally recognized person named Rob Lawless, who is focused on using human interaction and relationships to help you as a young professional grow, not only in your career, but in life in general. So he's our keynote speaker, and we're excited about bringing him in here. But even more exciting was for folks like Troy Wells with Baptist,
yep,
Crystal Kohanke with Arkansas Children's, Chad Brown with Circumference mm-hmm. Group, Christy Casey with Rock Dental, Carlton Saffa with Saracen, Heath Helton with our police, and then Ben Brainerd with Yellow Rocket, who've also agreed to come and be a part of helping our young professionals understand how to be more successful in this marketplace. And so we're excited about it because we're trying to help them grow their networks, build their skills, and then in doing so, shape our community. And the one thing that I learned long ago from Nick Brown, who was the former CEO of Southwest Power Pool.
Yeah.
You know, Nick said, if I can find two people that are equally qualified for a position, if one of them is involved in a local nonprofit, I want to hire that person, because what that tells me is that person is engaged in their community. They're grounded in their community.
Personally invested.
And yeah, it's more than just about them. Mm-hmm. And we want more of those kinds of folks, which is why having this summit on March the 6th of this year is one of the next steps we're taking, not only in the talent attraction piece, but then you have to retain them.
Yeah. I knew our time would go fast, and we're out. Jay, thank you so much. I'm not going to wait a year because there's too much going on. I didn't even get through all my list today yet, so we'll get you back soon.
I look forward to it. Thank
you. All right, Jay Chesser from the Little Rock Regional Chamber, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.